We're going to continue on in our series on stewardship. And today, as we look at it, we need to remember what we talked about last week. Just have in your mind and remember that all this is based upon the fact that God created everything and gave and gives us everything. Everything we have, everything who we are, it came from Him. So let's pray and then we'll jump into God's Word. Father, we come before You this morning and we seek Your leading, Your guidance, and how to live our lives. Lord, I pray for Your manifest presence here this morning and for Your power and anointing to be upon me as I preach Your Word. Lord, that I would speak in such a manner that each person here would be encouraged, that each person here would be drawn just a little bit closer to You and would have a better understanding of Your will for them and how they're to live out their lives. Father God, meet with us here this morning. May we each one know that we've heard from You as we dig into Your Word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I'm going to be going through multiple passages this morning, not quite as many as last week, but we're going to be looking at the New Testament. Now, the reason why I'm staying just in the New Testament, because I could find passages which support what the main idea of this week's message is, which is accountability, that we are accountable for everything that God has given us. Okay, we can find that in the Old Testament a lot, but a lot of people think that the New Testament is all about God is love, that there's no judgment, there's no reason to be fearful of God, nothing to be afraid of there. Well, the truth is that God speaks very clearly about the fact that we will be held accountable and that there is a judgment in the New Testament. It's not that like there's a mean God in the Old Testament and a loving God in the New Testament. It's the same God. But many people have this misperception of God when He brought discipline to the people of Israel. It wasn't because He was mean. It was because He's trying to change their direction because they will be held accountable. We will each be held accountable. So let's look at the end game, if you would, first. Revelation chapter 20. And then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. One more time there, that last sentence. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Accountability. God has given us our very souls. Our lives. We are accountable to Him ultimately. Our ultimate and first piece of stewardship is our souls. It's that which is, we have which is of eternal value. This building is not of eternal value. This body is not of eternal value, praise God. It's kind of broken here and there. But our souls are indeed of eternal value. And we will be held accountable for what we do. Ultimately, the question is, what have you done with my son? Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? Or have you rejected him as Lord and Savior? It's an either or. It's not a both and. It's not a maybe. You're on one side or the other. Now, the interesting thing is, even after we have had our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as believers, there's still levels of accountability. We will be held accountable for those gifts and those toils, those jobs, those things which God has given us to do and to use. I'm going to turn now to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and it reads, "So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. Is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light that which is hidden in darkness and will expose the motive of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God." We've been entrusted with the secret things of God, even says here. We've been entrusted. Now, if I've been given a trust, that means I'm expected to do something with it. We've been entrusted with what? The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The fact that he was born of the Virgin, lived a sinless life, that he then went to the cross sinless for our to pay the penalty for our sins, died, was in the grave 3 days, resurrected, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. That's the good news that we have. We've been entrusted with it. We've been given it. And what we do with it is going to determine whether or not we receive God's praise or not. Now, if there's an option for praise, there's also an option for, I'm disappointed. You didn't do all that you could have. You didn't do as well as you were able. Now, I'm a parent. Most of you here have been parents. And if you haven't been a parent yet, well, just wait. When you're training a child to do something, it's really much easier to do it yourself. It truly is. Say, clean the bathroom. Talking to an older child here, don't do that with your 2-year-old, but you do it with your 12-year-old. Clean the bathroom. You walk in, you say, yeah, you took out the trash, but what about the streaks in the mirror and the ring in the toilet? And why is the soap dish all scuzzy? Do it again. Come back and say, okay, well, you did the stuff that I mentioned, but I didn't, like, do a thorough inspection because there was so much here. You still miss this, like the dirt behind the toilet. And do it right one more time. Spend more time inspecting than it would have taken to go and clean it yourself. Get it, boom, in and out. But yet, the child has been given the task to do it. and we expect the child to do it to the best of their ability, and we encourage them and we train them to do it better. Right? To learn a life skill. To participate in the household. To be responsible. Because once they've learned the task, then we can give them responsibility doing the task, and we don't have to oversee it, not anywhere near as closely as we did when they were first learning. So they've been entrusted with something to do. And when they do it well, we're to praise them. God does that with us. He gives us tasks. And could God do that task better than I can? Duh, that's a given. Okay? God is God. He can do everything a lot better than I can. And He can do it better than you can. But yet He's given us the task. So why would He do that? Obviously, there must be some benefit in it for us. Okay, there's a benefit in the task for us if we do it. We learn. We grow. We get to receive blessings that we would not otherwise get if we do the task which God has given us. Those things which He has entrusted us with. And we're not supposed to be worried about what the world has to say as long as we're just doing what it is that God has told us to do. He says, I care not if other people judge. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for God. We need to keep that attitude. See, people, this is stewardship. This is the basis of real stewardship. Understanding that everything is God's, everything that I have comes from Him. And that He's going to hold me accountable, and He's going to hold you accountable for what you do with what it is He gives you. Whether that be a blessing, whether that be a burden. Burdens that we can turn into blessings. By what we do with it. Let's move on. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. Verses 17 through 21. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good deeds. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up for themselves treasure as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and from opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. We're to guard what's been entrusted to our care. But just before that, he tells us to be rich with it and give our blessings away. How do we do that? How do we guard it on the one hand and be rich with it on the other? We use it the way God intended. We guard the truth, the gospel message. Don't let anybody try to change it. We're rich with it in that we give it out to everybody because you know what? The more gospel I give out, the more I got to give. I don't ever run out of gospel. There's not a limited amount of it. But we're instructed to be rich. Even if we're poor, just with that which God has richly provided us. What has He richly provided us? The richest thing He has provided us is His love. We need to share that with everybody around us. We need to guard it. How do you guard love? By being honest to it. Selfless, loyal, benevolent, concern for the well-being of another person, by actually being loving towards one another, by not allowing something else to slip in there. It's been put in our care. We've been told to guard it. We've been told to give it away. Again, remember, we're going to be held accountable for what we do with this. You don't tell somebody to guard something and then not hold them accountable. The military does not post guards at military bases and then not hold the guard accountable. If somebody comes through that wasn't supposed to come through, that guard will be in trouble. And there's a purpose for putting a guard someplace. Because there's somebody who wants to come in and try to mess things up. Sometimes intentional, sometimes unintentional. Sometimes you put a guard there to keep people out because if they come in, they might get hurt. But yet guards are always held responsible. You know, this guy who was called away or went away from his post at the New Jersey airport, he's toast. The union's trying to protect him, but this guy, they're looking for somebody to blame, and he's it. He was called away. He left his post. He didn't make sure somebody else came to watch it. You know, you were told to guard this. You can't go someplace else. Right? But I had to go check. No, you were told to guard this. This is your primary concern. That's how they're going to get the guy. What we need to do is learn from that and recognize that guards, we've been called guards. Called to guard what has been entrusted in our care, which is the gospel. Again, not to guard that we don't give it out, hide it in, but that it's not twisted or perverted or changed in any manner. Guard the truth of it. In Luke, we learn about what the master's will is. In Luke 12, verses 47 and 48, it says, "The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows." Beaten with many blows. "But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows." Oh, goody. "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." If God has blessed you, that means you are held to a higher level of accountability. That is why I, as a pastor, am held to a higher level of accountability than somebody who is not a pastor. Because that's a blessing. It's a special blessing. Sometimes I think it's a really special blessing. But I'm held accountable to those who've been entrusted much. Much is expected. You know, I don't expect an 8-year-old to be able to do something as well as an 18-year-old. I don't expect the 18-year-old necessarily to be able to do as well as the 28-year-old, depending on what it is. I would hold each of them accountable, but at a different level of accountability. Now, Jason, he's not here today, so I can talk about him. He's doing his guard duty, you know, 1 weekend a month. Well, when he was 8, when I was working on stuff, he helped me. And I expected him to know what tool it was that I asked for when I asked for it. I said, "Give me a crescent wrench." I expected a crescent wrench, not a channel lock pliers. And some of you are going, huh? Well, this is something if I yelled at him enough, eventually I figured it out. Wrong one. That was the way my dad trained me. So, you know, it was tried and true method. But then when Jason was 18, you know what? He's working on his own car. And I trusted him to do his own maintenance. The oil plug fell out. Hatched the engine. He was held accountable. Jason's 27 right now. He's currently right now at Holman Field working on a helicopter for the National Guard, putting in a new engine. Mistakes that he made before, he doesn't make anymore. He's held to a higher level of accountability. One, he's learned as he's gone through. But you know what? He is held to a much higher level of accountability now, because if he makes a mistake now, people die. That engine goes kapooey in the middle of a flight. That helicopter is going down. And you have the crew and passengers and anybody that's underneath them all at risk. Yesterday when he started working on this engine, he spent 2 hours looking for the right log entry because somebody had entered the information wrong as to what the engine was down-checked for. And he just had to search through the log and just find the correct entry. They'd misfiled it, but he had to find the right entry before he could start. He just didn't say, well, I can see what's wrong, I'm going to do it. The level of accountability. He had to do this before he could do that. We have that same level of accountability before God. God gives us things to do. Those who are brand new to Christ, they're not held to the same level of accountability as somebody who's been a pastor for 18 years. But the accountability is there. If you're a brand new believer and you happen to tell somebody something that's you're not theologically correct, it's not a big deal. If I stand up on a Sunday morning and I spew out a bunch of theology that's wrong, and I convince all of you that it's right, big deal. I mean, if you're a new believer, we come back and say, you know, I made a mistake. I didn't really quite understand what I was saying before. So if we know what our master wants and we don't do it, we're going to be held accountable. It says here, those of us who know what he wants get many blows. But it also tells us that if we don't know what our master wants and we still do something wrong, we get fewer blows. So if I'm ignorant, I'm not punished as much as if I know what I'm doing is wrong. You all know what's right. You are going to be held to the higher standard. You can't claim ignorance. I didn't know God wanted me to live for Him. I didn't know God wanted me to love my enemy and to be loving to other Christians. I didn't know God wanted me to share the gospel with other people. You can't say that. If you don't do it, you will be held accountable. It talks about many blows. Now this is, I don't want many blows, okay? So we need to follow through and do what it is that God has directed us to do. If we know God's will, we need to do it. Because we will be held accountable for it, whether we do it or we don't do it. One more passage we're going to look at this morning. 1 Peter. Chapter 4. Verses 7 through 11. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Nope, that's chapter 5, never mind. Chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That's our key line there. What has God given you? Sometimes He gives us things that look like a blessing. Sometimes He gives us things that look like a curse. But it's what we do with it. It's what we do with it that really, really shows whether or not we're following God and doing what God would have us to do. Job, when he had his homes destroyed, his children dead, his livestock all killed and run off, and his crops ruined, and his body covered in boils, he said, praise God. Just as he had said, praise God, when he had all those things. And as he said, praise God, when God restored those things many times over to him later. God has given you something, be it a gift, a blessing, a handicap, a task, whatever it is He's given you. You're responsible, I am responsible, to do for God, or responsible to God for what I do with it. You're responsible to God for what you do with that. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with all that you have in your life? God has directed us that in all things we're to do it as unto Him. God has directed us that we're to share the gospel, that we're to love one another. You will be held accountable. Again, the first and most important point of stewardship that you'll be held accountable to is, what have you done with His Son? But then, what have you done with all the blessings and all the challenges, all the gifts, and all the trials that God has given you in your life? You will answer to God for them. I will answer to God for them. We all do. And whatever we do, we need to do it as unto the Lord, giving praise to His name and recognizing that everything we have comes from Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are indeed a gracious God who gives us the bounty of the heavens, the bounty of the fields. Lord, if we have money in our pocket or if we have breath in our lungs, it comes from you. Lord, if we have anything, eventually it comes from your hand. And you ask that we would do your will in all things, that we would seek after your will and your way. So Lord, show us how we can walk with you, how we can be loving to those around us. Lord, how we can share the gospel with those who need to hear it, how we can come alongside of our brothers and sisters in Christ and be encouragers to them. Father, we might remember that all that we have isn't ours, it's yours. And you're going to hold us accountable for what we do with it. So Lord, might we do with it according to your will, that we might receive your praise. We ask this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand as we close and we